Hey, this is Mac, co-host of the Greatest Mixtape Podcast, back with the final episode of Deathbed Dave, which I wrote with my good friend Bob. So let's jump into Act 3, shall we? Here we go. Interior, diner, day. Dave is sitting in a booth drinking coffee. His right hand holds a coffee cup and his left arm is resting on the bag of money. He looks out the window and sees Lou standing out front begging for change. Dave knocks on the window and waves Lou inside. Lou enters the diner and sits across from Dave in the booth. Lou: Hey, man. Dave: You hungry? Lou: I'm not out there trying to fund my retirement. Dave: So that's a yes. Lou: Indeed, kind sir. Dave raises his hand and Emma walks over to the table. Emma: Hey, Dave. More coffee? Dave: Sure. And can you get Lou a menu? Emma: Will do. Lou: No menu needed. I'll take a ham and cheese omelet with hash browns, sausage, and white toast on the side. Dave: No donuts? Lou: I'll take 2 glazed donuts also. Emma: Okay, I'll put the order in. Lou: And a cup of coffee, please. Dave: Thanks, Emma. Emma walks away. Lou: Thanks. I'm fucking starving. Dave: Yeah, no problem. Lou: What's up? You seem a little down. Dave: Yeah, got a lot going on. Lou: Like what? Dave: Well, for starters, my girlfriend left me. Lou: That sucks, man. Dave: Yeah, for the first time in my life, I was, like, really in love. I still am, actually. Lou: Think you can get her back? Dave: I don't know. She's pretty repulsed by me at the moment. Lou: Why? What did you do? Dave: Remember that money I told you about? Lou: Yeah. Dave: Well, I took it. Lou: So? Dave: She found out. Lou: Uh-oh. Dave: Yeah, I fucked up big time. Lou: What does she care if you took some money? Dave: It goes against everything she stands for. Lou: Too late to give the money back? Dave: I probably need to do more than that to get her back. Lou: Probably, but it's a start. Dave: Yeah, but there's nobody to give the money back to. Lou: Then donate it. Dave: Sounds like something Val would do. Lou: Just give it away to somebody who needs it. Dave: I guess I could do that. Lou: Plenty of people out there that could use some help. Emma brings Lou's coffee to the table and walks away. Dave hesitates before asking Lou a question. How long have you been homeless? Lou: 10 years. Dave: Why are you homeless? Lou: Sleeping on the sidewalk is really good for my back. Dave: Come on, seriously. Lou: It doesn't take much to lose it all, man. A couple of bad decisions here and there, throw in some drugs and booze, before you know it, you got nothing. Dave: Is that what happened to you? Lou: Something like that. Every one of us is just a few bad breaks from being out on the street. Dave: You got any family? Lou: None that'll talk to me. Dave: No wife, no kids. Lou: Again, none that'll talk to me. Dave: So you have no real ties to Atlanta? Lou: Nope. Nothing keeping me here. Dave notices the pain in Lou's face and looks out the window as Emma brings over Lou's food. Emma: Here you go, Lou. Enjoy. Lou: Thanks, Emma. Dave: Yeah, thanks, Emma. Emma walks away as Dave watches Lou immediately start eating. Lou: Dude, thank you so much for this. Dave: My pleasure, man. Dave reaches into the bag of money and places a $100 bill on the table. Hey, Lou, I gotta get going. Use this to pay the bill and give Emma the change. Lou: You're not worried about me stealing the change? Dave: No, you're not gonna need it. Lou: I'm not? Dave picks up the bag and drops it under the table on Lou's feet. Lou: What the hell is that? Dave: Me doing the right thing. Lou looks under the table. What's in the bag? Dave: Your new life. Lou reaches under the table and opens the bag and sees the money inside. God damn, Dave! Lou looks up and Dave is gone. He looks out the window and sees Dave walking to his car. Dave stops and waves to Lou with a smile. Lou waves back and watches Dave get in his car and drive away. Lou looks around the diner and goes back to eating his food. After a couple of bites, he stops. Lou: "Hey, Emma, can I see that menu again?" Interior, storage facility, day. The manager leads Scott and two uniformed police officers down the hall to Dave's storage unit. Manager: "It's right here, officer." Scott: "Great, thanks." Manager: "Where's the cop that came here the other day?" Scott: "Cop?" Manager: "Yeah, the big bully asking all the questions." Scott: "What did he look like?" Manager: "I don't know. Big fat guy. He didn't let me get a good look at his badge." Scott: "Did you get his name?" Manager: "I asked, but he wouldn't give it to me." Scott: "Did you show him inside the storage unit?" Manager: "Yeah, I had to. He started calling me a terrorist and threatened to throw me in jail." Scott: "Really? And he said he was a cop?" Manager: "Yes, sir. Then he gave me $20 to keep my mouth shut." Scott: $20, huh?" Scott glances angrily at the two uniformed police officers as they arrive at the unit. The manager punches in the code and steps aside as the door opens. Scott looks inside to find it empty. Fuck. The manager looks inside the unit. Manager: "Empty." Scott: "Yeah, empty." Manager: "Do you need anything else from me?" Scott: "No, close it up." Interior, Northside Hospital, day. A nurse, middle-aged, wearing colorful scrubs, is tending to a young girl in her hospital bed. The young girl is pale and bald and hooked up to machines. Nurse: "Get some rest, cutie." Young girl: "All I do is rest." Nurse: "I know, but it'll get better. I promise." Young girl: "You've been saying that for a while." Nurse: "Trust me." The young girl smiles and closes her eyes. The nurse leaves the room. Interior, small office, day. The nurse enters the room, closes the door, and sits down at a desk. She begins shuffling through some papers on the desk when there is a knock at the door. Nurse: "Come on in." The door remains closed and nobody enters. "I said, come on in." The nurse, now frustrated, stands up and reaches for the door. "I really don't have the energy for this nonsense today." She opens the door to find a bag at her feet. She looks in both directions down the hallway as a janitor walks by. Nurse: "Did you see who dropped this off?" Janitor: "No, ma'am." She picks up the bag, closes the door, and places the bag on her desk. She unzips the bag and opens it up. Her eyes widen as she sees stacks of $100 bills and a note. She unfolds the handwritten note and reads it aloud. "This is for Connor. I hope it saves other kids' lives. P.S. Fuck cancer." The nurse sits down on the chair, picks up the phone, and dials an extension. Nurse: "Hello, Mr. Miller? You're going to want to come down here." Exterior, Northside Hospital, day. Dave walks out the front entrance whistling. Interior, nursing home, night. Dave is sitting at a table drinking coffee in the cafeteria. Patient families and staff are also seated. In between sips of coffee, he is looking at photos of him and Val on his phone. Exterior, bar, day. Flashback. Dave and Val are having drinks at a patio bar. Val: "So do you cry a lot?" Dave: "Like, just walking down the street?" Val: "No, silly, on the job." Dave: "Actually, I make it a point not to cry." Val: "Never?" Dave: "Nope." Val: "That seems pretty cold. Why?" Dave: "Because then it's no longer a job. It becomes real life, which is much harder to deal with." Val: "So you don't get close to your clients?" Dave: "I try not to." Val: "But you're with them as they die. How can you not feel anything?" Dave: "I didn't say that I don't feel anything. I said I tried to not get too close." Val: "Still, that's tough." Dave: "Yeah, it's not a job for everybody." Val: "I remember the names of all my patients and their babies." Dave: "Unlike you, I don't have to worry about running into any of my clients at the grocery store after my job is done." Val: "That's true. You got it easy." Dave: "You should think about a career change. Life's a lot easier on the dark side." Val: "No chance, Vader." Dave: "Fine. Let's just get some more drinks then." Dave points to the bar as they laugh together. Back to interior, nursing home, night. Gleason: Boy, did you fuck that up. Dave looks up to see Gleason standing over his shoulder and looking at the pictures on his phone. Dave says loudly to the room, "Hey, everybody, look, it's the guy that's too fat and stupid to direct traffic." Gleason leans in close to Dave's face. "I took care of Phil. I talked to him every day. I was his friend. You meant nothing to him." Dave, "Friend? I'm pretty sure Phil thought you were a total douche." Gleason, "You don't know that." Dave, "I'm fairly certain that everybody who meets you thinks you're a douche." Gleason, "Just give me the money and your life will be a lot easier." Dave, "Money?" Gleason, "That money was supposed to be mine and you took it." Dave, "What money? I don't have any money." Gleason, "Don't give me that shit. I know about the storage unit. I've seen the bags of money." Dave, "I'm so sorry, Mr. Security Guard. I have no idea what you're talking about." Gleason pokes Dave in the chest. Gleason, "Stop playing games with me, asshole." Dave, "Touch me again, fat boy. I dare you." Gleason pokes him in the chest again, harder this time. Dave stands up and shoves Gleason. The patient families and staff scatter. Gleason charges Dave and a fight ensues. Chairs go flying and tables are flipped over as they battle. Scott, "Freeze, both of you." Dave and Gleason stop fighting and look over to see Scott with his gun drawn. Scott, "Both of you assholes, just stop right there." Gleason looks at Dave with a smile. "This is the part where you go to jail, motherfucker." Scott, "Change your plans, Gleason." Gleason, "What?" Scott, "Turn around and put your hands on your head." Gleason, "Me?" Scott, "Yes, you." Gleason, "But..." Scott, "Just do it." Gleason turns around and places his hands on his head. Scott holsters his gun and takes out a pair of handcuffs from his belt. Gleason, "Scott, what are you doing? He's the one that stole the money." Scott lowers Gleason's hands behind his back and puts the cuffs on. Scott, "Gleason, you're under arrest for impersonating an officer." Gleason, "What?" Scott turns Gleason around to face him. Scott, "You just couldn't leave it to the pros, could you?" Gleason, "You guys wouldn't do anything. How much evidence do you need?" Scott takes a deep breath and shakes his head in disappointment at Gleason. He looks at Dave. "Keep your nose clean, Dave." Dave looks at Scott with a raised eyebrow. Scott takes Gleason by the arm and leads him away. "Let's go, Gleason." Gleason scowls at Dave as he is leaving. Gleason, "You're going to pay for this, Dave." Dave, "See you, pal. Be sure to write." Scott leads Gleason out of the nursing home. Dave looks at the table where he was sitting, now laying on its side. Dave, "Oh, man. That fucker spilled my coffee." Exterior, bus station, day. Lou is standing in line waiting to get on a Greyhound bus. The driver is collecting bags from other passengers and putting them in the luggage compartment under the bus. The driver approaches Lou. "Just one bag, buddy?" Lou, "Yeah, that's it." Driver, "Great, I'll take that from you." The driver reaches for Lou's bag. Lou, "Whoa, hold up. I'll keep the bag with me." Driver, "You sure? I don't think that'll fit in the overhead." Lou, "I'm sure." Driver, "You may have to hold it in your lap for the whole ride. Where are you going?" Lou, "Portland. Heard they got some good donuts out there." Driver, "Donuts?" Lou, "Yeah, Voodoo Donuts. Ever heard of them?" Driver, "Can't say that I have." Lou, "Supposed to be the best." Driver, "That's a long ride for some donuts." Lou, "Yeah, I'm aware." Driver, "Why not fly?" Lou, "I got nothing but time, man." Driver, "You're going all the way to Oregon and only bringing one bag." Lou, "I only packed what I need." Driver, "You must lead a pretty simple life." Lou, "You could say that." Driver, "Last chance." Lou, "Thanks, man, but I'll keep the bag." Driver, "Okay, suit yourself." The driver moves on to the next passenger in line as Lou tightens his grip on the bag and steps onto the bus. Interior, small apartment, day. Dave sets down a stack of boxes that he is moving in. He takes out a utility knife out of his back pocket and opens the top box and pulls out Maggie's lamp. He blows the dust off the lamp and smiles. "Hey, Maggie. Glad to have you back." He sets the lamp down on the table next to his old recliner. He looks around the room contently with his hands on his hips. Interior, Northside Hospital, day. Dave is dressed as a clown with makeup. He has a crowd of kids and their parents standing around him in a circle. The kids and parents are all laughing as one child pulls a never-ending string of colored handkerchiefs from Dave's pocket. Dave looks up from the child and spots Val, leaning up against the wall with her arms folded, watching him. Dave quickly ends his trick with the kids. "Okay, kids, Mr. Smiles needs a break." Kids: "Aw." Dave: "Don't worry, I'll be back in a minute." The parents move the kids away as Dave walks over to Val. Val: "Mr. Smiles?" Dave: "I know, it sucks." But Chuckles and Mr. Giggles were already taken. Val: "You could have gone with the great Malenko." Dave: "Impressive. An insane clown posse reference." Val: "And it's way better than Mr. Smiles." Dave: "True, but I don't need the Juggalos coming after me." Val: "I'm pretty sure you'd be flying under their radar here at the hospital." Dave: "You kidding me? Some of these parents here could be Juggalos." Val: "It's possible, I guess. You never know what people do on the weekends." They smile at each other. Dave: "How have you been, Val?" Val: "I'm okay. How are you?" Dave: "I'm better now, but I really miss you." Val: "I miss you too." Dave: "I can't believe I messed up such a great thing." Val: "So we're just going to jump right into it, huh?" Dave quickly looks down at his outfit. "I wanted you to be able to take me seriously." Val: "Then yeah, you really fucked it up." Dave: "I know, and I'm trying to make it right." Val: "How so?" Dave: "All the money is gone, Val." Val: "So you're finally able to admit that you took it?" Dave: "Yeah, I am." Val: "What did you end up spending it on?" Dave: "A clean conscience." Val: "How much did that cost?" Dave: "Everything I had." Val: "Just like that, you gave it all up?" Dave: "It's all gone. I gave it to people that need it. And I'm finally back to being the guy I was before all this shit started." Val: "I'm glad to hear that. But even that guy needed some work." Dave: "That's fair." Val: "So my friends here at the hospital told me something about a large cash donation a little while back. You know anything about that?" Dave: "These are some special kids here. I'm sure they've touched a lot of people's lives." Val: "Nice to know you can still be coy when you want to." Dave: "I can't think of a more deserving group of kids." Val: "I'll take that as a yes." Dave: "Take it any way you want." Val looks over at a group of kids waiting for Dave to come back. "Well, Mr. Smiles, your public awaits." Dave: "Guess I can't leave my fans waiting." Val: "You do need a new name, though. That shit is just lazy." Dave: "I know. I'll work on it." Dave looks over at the group of kids and then back at Val. "I'll be back here for the kids' party in a couple weeks. Will you be here?" Val: "You know I will." Dave: "Great. Can we talk again then?" Val: "Sure." Dave: "Maybe grab coffee afterwards?" Val: "I'll think about it. Just get back to the kids." Dave: "Okay. Bye, Val." Val: "See ya." Dave starts to turn away toward the group of kids. Val: "Dave, wait." Dave turns back. "Yeah?" Val: "I lied to you too." Dave: "Is this where you tell me that you faked every orgasm?" Val: "No." Dave: "Then it can't be that bad. What is it?" Val: "I didn't actually have breast cancer." Dave: "What?" Val: "It was cervical cancer, and I can't have kids." Dave: "Oh." Val: "Now you know why I do what I do." Dave: "Wow, that's heavy." Val: "Do you hate me for lying?" Dave hesitates and smiles at her. "I'll see you in a couple of weeks." Val: "If you'll be here, I'll be here." They smile at each other, and Dave walks away toward the group of kids. Dave: "Hey, kids!" The kids laugh and cheer as Dave approaches. Val watches with a smile. Interior, Voodoo Donuts, Portland, Oregon, day. Lou steps up to the counter and is greeted by a worker, a bearded hipster in his 20s. Worker: "What can I get you, my friend?" Lou: "One of everything, dude. One of everything." Exterior, nursing home, night. D. Dave sits on a bench outside the nursing home. The light from his phone brightens his face. He refreshes his bank account on the phone. Clara walks outside and sits next to him on the bench. Clara, waiting for those dollar bills? Dave, if people are wearing black, I'm seeing green. Clara, wow, that's awful. Dave, yeah, I know, but I still gotta make a living. Clara, how long do you think you can do this? Dave, I don't know, probably not much longer. Clara, I'd love to know why. What gets a guy like you to stop? Dave, a guy like me? I'm not an assassin, for Christ's sake. Clara, you know what I mean. Dave, jeez. Clara, can you just answer the question? Dave, I guess I've just seen too many people die. They're with me all the time. Clara, all the time? Dave, they talk to me in my sleep. Clara, I get that. Dave, yeah? Clara, take all the people you've seen die and multiply that by a few hundred. That's how many people I've seen carried out of here in bags. Dave, I never thought about that. Clara, most people don't. They think all I do is answer phones. Dave, man, now that I stop and think about it, you've probably seen a ton of people die. Clara, no, Dave. I got to know and cared for a lot of people that have died. Dave looks at his phone and hits refresh. Clara, gotta go? Dave, not yet. Clara, who are you waiting on? Dave, Ellen Conway in 310. Clara, oh, she's a doll. You're gonna love her. Dave, that's kind of what I'm afraid of. Clara, don't worry. Maybe you'll get Mr. Berman in 115 next. He's a real asshole. Dave, maybe. Thanks, Clara. Clara smiles, nods, and then stands up. You got a friends and family discount? Dave, for you, Clara, no charge. Just stay on my good side, and I'll sit with you until the end. Clara, then don't go back to being the old Dave, the guy I used to call Deathbed Dave. Dave, I'd be okay never being called that ever again. Clara, so we have a deal? Dave, deal. Clara starts to walk away and then stops. Clara, don't lose sight of why these people are paying you. Nobody asks to be alone at the end of the road. Dave nods silently as Clara walks back into the nursing home. He looks at his phone again and hits refresh. His bank account remains unchanged. He shrugs his shoulders and smiles. It's okay, Ellen Conway. I don't mind donating some time. Dave stands up, puts his phone in his pants pocket, and walks into the nursing home. Fade out. Okay, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed listening to Deathbed Dave. Thank you all so much for checking it out. Take care.